Hey, my name is Lauren Frieder, and my husband Drew and I are lead pastors at Lift Church. We are on the eastern shore of Maryland. We want to thank you so much for joining us today, and we are believing that you will get a lift of encouragement.
You picked a great week to join us if this is your very first time here. I've been excited for this week for a while because we're going to do what we call a five for five, and that is five of our dream teamers. That's people who serve with us, volunteer with us, build the church with us, love on all of us. They are going to come up and share from five different perspectives while their one great God is amazing. So can y'all give it up for our five for fivers who are going to be sharing this morning as they come? Come on, y'all get louder than that. We love to honor here at Lift Church. I'm going to share who they are and introduce you to them now. This is Matt Milkerick. You oftentimes see him playing electric guitar, and his heart is sold out for Jesus. He and his wife, Laura Beth, are amazing dream teamers who've been with us from the launch. This is Tanisha Armstrong. She is an incredible encourager, an on-time word lady, and her and her family have been a part of our church since the launch. She's on our prayer team. She's on our benevolence team. She's led our outreach team. We're so grateful for Tanisha. This is Mark Williamson. Come on, y'all, get up. This is one of our board members. He's on our leadership team of our church. If you got some complaints, talk to him. I set you up right there. All right, sharing the love. Anyway, and listen, he's also over our prayer team, and we have a phenomenal prayer team at Live Church. They show up as early as everyone else, praying over the seats, praying over the room, praying over the experience, praying over the technology sometimes. Lord, help us live stream so the message goes out in Jesus' name. We got Terrence Gaines, who's no stranger to the stage. He's one of our SEU students. He's on staff with us as our media director of our church, and he's just a great friend to my wife and I, and no stranger at all. Come on, drum roll, please. I got my wife up here. This is my wife, Lauren, and I just love when she operates in her gifts. I love her pursuit of Jesus more than anything else. I just want to encourage you, especially young people. You might think that the best way to the best thing to pursue is like looking good in the mirror or getting your junk together. Listen, I'm telling you, my wife has been beautifully worshiping Jesus since before I met her, and that is her most attractive quality, and the rest are short behind. Come on. So listen, young people, don't pursue looks. Don't pursue anything more than you pursue Jesus. Come on, that's your most attractive quality. So this is how it's going to work. I'm going to step out of the way, and they're going to come up, and they're going to share for 5 minutes, and there will be a clock up here. And they prepared something amazing that has already blessed so many people in our first experience. And at Live Church, let me tell you a secret. Us preachers love to hear some noise, okay? And they don't preach every single day, and so they're going to want to hear you shout them down, okay? Let's get some practices. Let's hear you better preach that. Come on. Come on. That's good. That's good. There's the classic amen. Amen. And bring it. Is that what you talk? Bring it. Come on. That's a really good one. Bring it. All right. I want to hear those. And would y'all just celebrate them, love on them, encourage them, take notes from them. And we're going to get started. Come on. Father, I pray that you move in this place and use each and every one of them as they minister. In Jesus' name, I pray. Bless your people. Equip your church. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on. Y'all give it up for my wife right now. Bring it.
Hello. Okay, today I want to share on the topic of when you go through trouble, community is your safety net. When you go through trouble, community is your safety net. I wanted to open with sharing a story of our youngest. Her name is Gianna. She was born in 2015, and she was born December 19th, and they told us the next day after she was born that she had severe jaundice, and she had to go in. There's a picture of her. She had to go in and get under the light and get an IV and all kinds of monitors. They were doing genetic testing because she continued all the way until December 24th when I begged the doctor, please let us go home for Christmas. He let us go home on one of those glow worms, the little blankets that you light up. She was so cute. She was really tan, but she was so cute. It was a really scary time for us. We didn't understand what was happening. We didn't know what was going on. Who would have thought our child would be in the NICU? It's a scary, scary time. And I remember my sister-in-law, she made a status, and you can put that up there too. And it says, even though Lauren and Drew are extremely strong in their faith, and we know God is in control, I'm asking for anyone close to them to call, text, message, or even visit with them. 1 Corinthians 12:26 says, if one part of the body suffers, we all suffer. I have great family, but your family sometimes can only do so much when they're watching your other children or when they're cooking you dinner or whatever they're doing. And so I want to share something that happened that was Lift Church and how Lift Church ministered to our family in a time of need and how they made us feel so good. In December, on December 19th of last year, my grandfather passed away and went home to be with Jesus. And it was a sad time, but it was a rejoicing time too, in that he was going home with Jesus and he would have no more pain. But I remember Lift Church reaching out, texting us, calling us, messaging us. We had Terrence and Mackenzie watching our children and my brother's children and just loving on our babies while we, and Lauren right there, she loved on our babies and supported us. We had the Turners bringing us fried chicken. The McCabes brought us pizza. Brian Robinson showed up in a suit and tie. Those are all things that we remember. Like, we remember those because they meant something to us, because Lift Church cared enough to care. We all need someone when we're, it says in Romans 12:15, rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. We're all going to weep at some point, and we're going to need someone to weep with us. We're all going to rejoice at some point, and we need someone to rejoice with us. When we are hurting, when we're rejoicing, we should not have to get a terrible phone call and have to deal with it alone. We should not be getting married and one of the best days of our life and have to rejoice alone. We should not have a child and have to rejoice alone. We should not stand alone beside a grave and alone. We should never have to walk alone. Do you today have a safety net? I want you to ask yourself, do I have someone that I can reach out to, someone that's going to care about me, someone that's going to call me if I'm not at church or text me, are you doing okay? I didn't see you this morning. I'm just checking on you to make sure you're fine. If you don't have a safety net, I have some options for you of ways to get a safety net. One of those would be to join our dream team. If you look around, we have volunteers all the time, and we have built community, which has resulted in a safety net. If you look around, we have small groups. They start in January. I encourage you so much to get into a small group. That is a way to get to know people, to establish relationships. And again, when you're not in church, that small group person, that leader, that person in there is going to look at you and they're going to say, wait, where are they? Let me text. Let me call them. Matt's small group had like 3 baby showers. They got to rejoice together over babies. But had they not had that community, they wouldn't have even known each other. And now they're like great friends. And so I encourage you to get a part of something. And thirdly, I'd like to ask you today, if you're in here and you're like, God, how can I be used? I walk into church every Sunday and I don't know where to go from here. I don't know how else I can be used. You may already be on the dream team, but you're like, I need something else. I would ask you today to ask the Lord, who can I be a safety net for? Who needs me? Who needs my prayers? Who needs my text? Who needs my call? Community is one of God's answers to despair. Let's be that community for our church, for Lift Church. Join a small group starting in January or join our dream team.
Come on, can we give it up for Pastor Lauren one more time? She does everything with such an excellent spirit. And hey, if you need to get in community, we have small groups coming up on January 31st, so make sure you sign up for those. But I want to get right into it this morning. So if you have your Bibles, can you follow me to Exodus chapter 3, verses 10 and 11? And this morning, I want to take a look at the life of Moses. And for many of us in here, we might know Moses for a few different things. But can I tell you today that when God initially placed a calling on his life, Moses doubted. So the Bible says in Exodus chapter 3, verse 10, God said to Moses, he said, now go, for I am sending you to Pharaoh. You must lead my people of Israel out of Egypt. No pressure. Moses responded back to God in verse 11. He said, who am I to appear before Pharaoh? Who am I to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt? Who am I?
And you know, I found it interesting because if you take a look at the first few chapters in the book of Exodus, you'll see that although he's an Israelite, Moses actually was raised as an Egyptian boy because he was raised by Pharaoh's daughter. So he had a firsthand experience to seeing how Pharaoh treated the Israelites. And then later on in life, like I just read in verses 10 and 11, God would call Moses and he placed a calling on his life. And Moses is like, God, hold up. Like, I've seen what Pharaoh has done to my people. I've seen how cruel he is. I've seen how unfair he is. And I've seen the things that he's done to the Israelite people. And you want me to stand before him? You want me to face him? And you want me to lead the Israelites from out of his captivity? Who am I to stand before Pharaoh? And it's because of what Moses saw while he was growing up that he placed a limitation on how he could be used by God to step into his calling. And I think a lot of us in here this morning, we don't have the confidence to step into what God has called us to do because of some of the things that we might have seen while we were growing up or because of what we currently see in our present situations. Some of you, you might say, well, my parents were never together, so I don't know what a Christian marriage looks like. Or my parents, they were together, but they got divorced. So will I actually ever find someone and be with one person for my entire life? Or some of you, you might have never seen anybody in your family graduate from college. Finances, yeah, I've never seen those handled properly. And it's because of the things that we've seen or because of what we currently see that will place limitations on how we can be used by God. And God is saying, if you would just stop limiting me, he says, if you would just trust in me, and he says, if I was in your yesterday and if I'm currently with you today, don't you understand that I already know what your tomorrow looks like? So I want to give y'all just two quick points on how we can confidently step into whatever it is God has called us to do. And wherever you are in life today, these two points can apply to you wherever you might be. So point number one, we've got to stop doubting. And as I continue to read in chapters 3 and 4 in the book of Exodus, I saw that on five separate occasions, Moses doubted himself. And this is what he did, and this is what we often do too. So let me know if any of these sound familiar. Moses, he doubted himself by saying, who am I? We just read that. Moses doubted by caring about the opinions of other people. He doubted himself by worrying if others would believe in him. He doubted by giving a reason as to why he couldn't step into the calling. And he doubted by saying that somebody else would be more qualified for the job than him. And I'm sure we all can resonate with one of those five reasons of doubt. But hear me, if we're ever going to do what God has called us to do, we have got to eliminate doubt from our lives. And what do the scriptures say? It says, be strong and courageous. Why? Because the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So point number one is stop doubting. Point number two, start believing. Once you get rid of that doubt, you've got to start believing that God can use you for greater things. And I was reading a book a few months ago. I've actually read it twice this year. It's called God of the Underdogs. And I love what the author said in chapter one. He said, we have permission to believe that God wants to use you. So you have permission to believe that God wants to use you. So you know what that tells me? If you want to start a business, you got permission to believe that God is going to use you to start a business. And not some regular, ran-down, raggedy, average business. Like, God is going to use you to start a successful business. If you want to go back to school and get your degree, permission to believe that God is going to use you and he'll be with you while you go get your degree. You want to break a generational curse off your family? Permission to believe that God's going to use you to break generational curses, addictions, and God is going to start something new in your family through you. Church, we have permission to believe that God will use us for greater things. And here's what I want you to do as I close. The next time the enemy causes you to think that you have to be defined by the things that you've seen or by what you presently see, and when those thoughts of who am I arise, I want you to stand up in the face of your doubts, your insecurities, the lies placed before us, your anxious thoughts, the fear. To those who say, well, maybe you should think twice about stepping into that, and let them know that I don't need to think twice about what my God says about me. Who am I? I think some of you have forgotten who God says you are. And let me remind you that you're fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of your Father. You're more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus who will give you strength to do all things. You are an overcomer. You are the head and not the tail. You are a royal priesthood and you are a holy nation set apart for the kingdom of God. And God sent me to tell you this morning that he wants to use us for greater things. But in order for us to step into something greater, and in order for us to be the catalyst of change among our friends, within our workplaces, and in our friend groups, we have got to be a people who say, you know what? I'm going to stop doubting and start believing. Thank you all.
Man, Terrence, you got me pumped up. Woo! Man, son. Hallelujah. You guys ever done this and wanted to say, freedom! What a year. So guys, I want to talk to you about steps. And the Bible says in Psalm 37:23, it says this, that the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. And I believe that God delights in our steps. because God sees the growth potential that's happening in our lives. And I believe that word steps is plural for a reason. Has any of you guys ever played that game hopscotch? And I'm not even going to bother demonstrating, because when I was a kid, I didn't play that game, okay? That was not one of my games to play. Lauren said I almost did it on the first service, and I doubted it very much. But, you know, the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord, and God is ordering our steps. And God wants to show you and lead you and guide you and direct you. Have you ever walked into one of those gardens where they got these steps, and you have to step here, otherwise you step in the mud, and it's kind of messy? See, God is a God of steps, that he'll organize and he'll set up your steps and he'll set up your life. And he did the same thing with Joseph, but he went a little bit further with Joseph. And he showed Joseph, what his plan was. A little bit in a dream, so it wasn't exactly. Because I think if God showed us our end result and God's end plan for life, it would be too big for us to believe. It'd be too hard to say, gosh, God, you want me to do that? No way. But God is a God of steps. And I begin to realize in my life, as to where I am now in my life, that there were steps that I began to take in my life. That God began to put me into a place of when I had a construction company. And God set me in that. I did, and I prospered, and that door closed. But see, it was not a failure. It was a turning point for the new step that I stepped into. And God said, when that stopped back in 2008, God said, okay, now you're going to go and you're going to go work for Home Depot now. I drove by the store and God says, there's your next step right there. Go apply for there. They hired me. I put my application in and they hired me. And I was just like, okay, God, this is amazing. I've got a job again and I'm back working again after a difficult time in my life. But see, God is so faithful to get those steps. And God takes us on to those next steps. So we realize something about steps. That sometimes, and even in Joseph's life, we realize that Joseph went through difficulty in the steps that God had for him. It wasn't always easy. But do you know something about God? God has multiple plans and multiple things going on all at one time. He is shaping some on the inside as well as getting things ready on the outside. You might be in a position right now, you're thinking, this is going nowhere. No. God's got something for you right now, and God is doing something that you are unaware of in your life right now. He has organized your steps, and he's doing that to set you up for that next big thing that God wants to do in your life. And God has so many plans and so many purposes, that God is a big enough God that he knows each and every one of you in each and everything that you guys are gifted in. And he'll set you in that plan. And he'll carry you, because God, the Bible says that God began a good work in you and he has plans to complete it in your life. So don't get discouraged as to where you are right now. Allow God to take you to that next level. See, God took me from being a very anxious child. I used to get sick every day when I went to school. I used to have, can I tell you this too? I used to preach and I stutter. And I said, God, I'm going to tell you something about this. I'm going to stand up here because you called me to preach. I'm either going to annoy the heck out of these people with my stuttering, or you're going to heal me. Can you tell what God did? So God is so faithful to take us from plan A to B to C, and all those stepping stones, in the end, it becomes something so great and so awesome, because you're following after that God plan, that God's plan that he has for your life. Bless you guys.
Good morning, Lift Church. It's 2020. Woo! No, I didn't just cuss you. It is 2020. 2020 has been a rough year. It's been different. Everything that we took for granted has been taken. So many things have been altered. We have to question whether we can go to work. We had to question whether our kids could go to school. We had to wear the masks. We couldn't have our holidays together. No Thanksgiving, no big gatherings for Christmas. There have been so many things. You can't go into the store without staying 6 feet from your neighbor. You can't hug. It's a difficult thing for me. I told somebody this morning, if they call the cops, if you hug people, I'm going to jail, because I've had enough. I can't. It's difficult for me. 2020 has been a challenge. For me, 2020 has been a difficult thing because I lost the dearest thing closest to me besides the Lord and my children. That is my husband. And so this year has been difficult. In 2020, as you can see, I wear these things because I don't have 2020 vision. And I have a 12-year-old son. He's a good boy, but he's got a smart mouth. And every time I can't find something, he's the one to come and find it. So he's always like, Mama, oh, Mommy, you can't see. Here it is right here, Mom. Here it is. And I'm like, thanks, son. Give it here and get out. 2020, if you don't have 2020 vision, you can see that there are some challenges. And when I started to ask the Lord what he wanted me to share today, he said one thing to me, and he said to remind you all that we have to see with not these eyes, but with this. We have to see that what he has professed to us in the word is that when the Holy Ghost came upon them, they received power. And our power to see 2020 is not with these physical eyes, but with this vision that God has given us. So in 2020 for me, I had to forget what I saw, the absence of my husband, the absence of my children's father, and I had to see with this eye what the Lord was showing me about our life. He wants me to share that if you look with this eye, that if you look with the eye that God has given you through the power of the Holy Ghost, you can see differently. In 2020, God wants us to realize that we have made it 361 days. We have 4 days left. And if the enemy couldn't kill us in the 361, he's not going to get us before we get to 2021. So listen, Lift Church, I want you to walk with me with our heads held high and realize that though we have felt like Job some days, like we have been eating dirt, we are getting to 2021. 361 days, we have made it. So let us think back on what the Lord has done in this year. And God wants me to remind you that there are some people in the Bible who had a 2020 experience. There was Jairus, who went desperately to find Jesus because his daughter was so sick. And when he finally got to the Lord, and when he finally got to begin to tell him what was wrong, the servants came and said, she's dead. But Jairus believed one thing, that if he could get Jesus to her, that something was going to change. So Jairus took that 2020 that he had on the inside, which his belief that Christ could do it. And when they got to the house, Jesus went in the room and he put out those who did not believe. And he told that little girl, get up. And she got up and came down and ate. We have to have that kind of 2020 vision. When the widow went to do her last, she was desperate. She had seen famine. She had lost everything. And she met the prophet Elijah. And he said, wait. Go home, bring a vessel, and by the way, I know that you plan to come and get what you needed so that you can make a little cake and sit with your son and wait to die, but I need you to make me something and bring it back with your vessel. And she followed the instruction of the prophet. And when she went home, she began to pour. And that oil never ran out. We need to go home and start to pour in our vessels. And we need to believe that the oil is not going to run out because we have 2020 vision. When the Israelites got to their promise, God took Joshua, and he had to lead that ragamuffin bunch of folks who took 40 years to do what should have only taken a few days. And when he got right in sight of his promise, the spies came back and said, there are giants in the land between you and your promise. And God told Joshua to do a crazy thing. Make some Holy Ghost noise. Use that 2020 vision to lift me up. And the Israelites began to march. And on that seventh time, the walls came down. We need to go home and make some noise. Make your neighbors think you're crazy with your 2020 vision. Walk around those walls and wait for them to fall. 2021 is waiting on us, Lift Church, and we can't look with these eyes. We have to look with the vision that the Lord gave us. In 2021, we're going to walk in with our heads held high. We are going to walk in, though we have been bowed, we are not broken. We are going in to claim what God has promised us. So let's walk in the power of the Holy Ghost. 2021, here comes Lift Church, and we're going in with a vision.
Man, good morning. What an awesome word from all four people. Man, that was awesome. Oh, man. I'd just like to honor Pastor Drew and Lauren and the staff for letting all of us come up here and just share our hearts. That's awesome. So I'm from Virginia, and growing up back home, my church, we used to volunteer with Operation Blessing, and they had warehouses filled with food and different supplies. A lot of times we'd ask for people to help, you know, fill up pallets. And a lot of times they would go to an area that was hit by a natural disaster like a hurricane or a tornado. And they would bring food there. But one of their strategies was they would come in months after the storm hit. Now, and that was awesome how they did that. And they would wait for other organizations to leave. And I thought about, man, how 2020, we got hit with like the hurricane and pandemic, this COVID hurricane. Man, we were all affected some way or another. Man, whether your job or like a family member, loneliness. I don't know what you've been through, but man, our lives have changed crazily. I've just been thinking about that. And like that story, I'm going to come later on to the end of the year and just encourage you guys with some encouragement and some tools how to handle a tough time like COVID. It made me think about this one question. Did you have a very merry COVID Christmas? Did you have a very merry COVID year? I don't know. It's like a strict reality, and it's like, man, that's like a real rough question to ask. But man, it's reality, and it's something we all went through together. But I was thinking about God's word, and I thought about Paul and his relationship with the church of Philippi. And he wrote to the church, and he was encouraging them to find joy in hardship. He was trying to say, hey, keep going. Keep the confidence up. Keep following Christ. And chapter 4 shows us, verses 10 through 13, shows us some advice, some tidbits, some like gold nuggets to handle a hard time like COVID. It says, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned about you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content. Say whatever. Whatever circumstances, I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any, say any, in every situation, whatever, well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. Here's it. I could do all things. Say all things. Not some things, not things you're privileged at, not things that, man, we're lucky about. I could do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And that's the thing here we see. First thing we see is Paul says it twice. I've learned to be content. I've learned to be content. I've learned a secret of being content. What is he saying? Through hard times, through hard experiences, I've learned to be satisfied in Christ. Whether I'm flying high and plenty and need and well-fed, or I'm in want and I'm hungry. Being content keeps you from greed and grateful in need. It's a balance to our walk with God. It keeps us focused. We find ourselves that we can be satisfied in Christ. Second, we are strengthened in Christ. Our whole basis of Christian is Christ. He's alone our Lord and Savior. When we just make him all in all, he's our rock. He's our foundation. That's what we're built on, church. That's what he told Peter. You're built on a confession of faith on Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you guys today. And verse 19 struck me, for Philippians chapter 4 says, and my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. I want you guys just to be really encouraged today. You could get through this time. You could get through COVID. You could be strengthened in the Lord today. Amen. Awesome.
Come on, can we give it up for all of our speakers this morning? Come on, I think they did an incredible job. And I know I'm encouraged. I don't know about you. I know you are encouraged. Actually, I do know that about you. Because God's word is so good. And I love that it doesn't matter what perspective you come from, where you're at in your life, God is trying to speak a message I felt this morning that is, we need to follow the word holistically. Like, you can't just pick the part of the Bible that you like and say, man, I like Ephesians, but I don't like Nahum. Yeah, you can't say, I love Matthew, but I don't like Revelation. Like, the whole word speaks to us. And I think it was great that we got the whole word today as each of them shared, because you might say, well, I love that stuff about steps and me taking the next step, but I like being on my own and I don't know about the care piece. I love that God wanted to speak an entire message of how to be whole, how to be content, how to find our place. And it's leaning into the wholeness of the Word of God. I just want to encourage you, this is why you need to get your word open, revere it, lean into it, and read it, because God is wanting to build us and grow us in our faith. I love what my wife shared, that you need to be in community. I know many of us kick against the goads a lot. I don't like people. I'm awkward around people. I don't like sharing my feelings. I don't want to open up. I like being a vault. I'm a vault, baby, but you know, maybe it's time. We had some people say this as they left the first experience. It's time to join the dream team. January is the time. It's time to join a small group. It's time to find family. Don't do life alone. Don't do faith alone. Don't be closed up, because God wants to build a church, the wholeness of the church. They were encouraged as they did it together. I feel like God was speaking as Terrence was sharing, that we need to put doubt aside. You've doubted long enough. You've been hung up long enough. You've believed lies long enough. You've had small-minded vision long enough. It was holding you back, saying you can't think that big. You can't dream that high. And God was saying it's time to quit doubting. It's time to step in and be courageous, that God can use you. He has given you permission to believe that God wants to use you to do big things. Come on. Some of you are needing to receive that right now. I hear God saying, receive that. It's going to be a game changer. You can't take the next step until you quit doubting that God's got you. He had you on this step. He got you on this step. What makes you believe if you take another step? Oh, it might not be clear. There might be less than 20/20 vision, but He had me here. He had me there. I can trust God has got me when I take the next step. Come on, it's not always clear. But God is a good God, and He's doing amazing things. He wants to use you. I hear God saying, quit being sidelined. I never sidelined you. I'm your coach, and I'm trying to say, come on, get in, baby. It's time to go. You're the difference maker, and it's the enemy who keeps saying, stay on the side. You'll make a fool of yourself. You're not good enough. Let others do it. Get in the game. Get in the game. God wants more than just sitting on that sideline. God's got more in you than just Sunday morning. I came, I heard, I left. No, He's putting you in. He's giving you a different vision. He's saying, time to leave the old. Time to step into the new. I'm strengthening you. I got you. Even when you're afraid, you can still be content, because I got you. I've had you before, and it's time to trust. It's time to step out. It's time to believe. Oh, I hear the Holy Spirit moving in your lives. If you know God's moving, come on, just give me a good hand wave right now. Just, that's me, Pastor. Put a little hand wave in the chat. Give us that emoji that just is stiff-necked with the hand up in the air going, me. Right? Come on. Yeah, you can be gender specific if you want to. Give us a female or a male, but just say, God, I hear you. I'm moving in this. I'm trusting you. Things are going. I'm taking a step because I'm trusting. It's moving you out of inaction. It's moving you out of last season. It's moving you out of contentment. It's moving you out of, I trusted Him 5 years ago, and oh, that was scary, but wasn't it a faith ride of my lifetime, into, it's time to do it again. It's time to go up higher. I hear God saying, some things are going to happen if you will lean into God and trust Him. That's the word I was hearing today. Trust Him. If you say, Pastor Drew, I trust Him, come on. Just slip your hand in the air right now. If you say, I trust Him, come on. Or maybe you have to prophesy it by raising your hand. You say, I don't know, I've had doubt, but I'm going to choose anyway to raise my hand. I'm going to let my actions go before my belief. Come on. If you're in this place right now and you say, I'm going to trust Him, raise your hand right now. I want to pray over you. Even at home, you may feel foolish, but sometimes it takes action to kick in the belief and the conviction. nation. In Jesus' name, I pray over every single person that faith would rise up, that it would take its place, that we would not be held back by human eyes, by what we see, but we would step into what our spiritual eyes see. Oh God, I believe, God, that new businesses are coming, and businesses that are going to minister to their co-workers. God, I hear that employees are going to open up new ministries right at their workplace, that the gospel is going to be spread in the truck as they ride around with a person at the cubicle next to them, God, that the bosses are going to share with their employees the conviction of the good news. I hear fear is going out of the door right now. I heard the enemy tell you, you can't share that at work. That's your personal belief. You can't share that. But I hear God saying, I will give you wisdom at the appropriate time in the right places to share your faith, because it is the good news that is going to unleash the people that you love and work with. Come on. Somebody receive that word right now. I believe new ministries are happening. God is trying to not only encourage you, but he's encouraging people around you. I hear God reminding me to remind you that word he gave you, that scripture that stood out to you, it's for your friend. It's for your family member. Quit holding it back. Share it. Open up. Ask your friend, how is things going at home? How is your faith? Quit staying back in fear and thinking I'm getting too over the line. God is saying, reach out and love your people around you. It is love to ask about them. It is love to care for them. It is love to connect with them. Share that scripture. Don't hold it back. They want to hear from you. Their spirit is yearning to hear from you. I hear God saying he's going to use you for ministry. Father, let all of that be done in Jesus' name. And if you agree with that, I want you to say a word that means let it be done. Say the word amen. Let it be done. Amen.